Jim Condon, age 79, is being interviewed by Renee Garalick for Concord's Oral History program. The interview is taking place at his home at 1405 Main Street on November 19, 2002. You know so much about West Concord, the Junction, that you will be our eyes and ears to an earlier time. We're sitting in the house that you were born and that your parents lived in. And when did they acquire this house?
This house they acquired in 1918, right after they were married. And it has stayed in the family, although I lived on Shirley Street for 10 years when I first got married. The first house was down there. And then the house was, I bought the house off my brothers and sisters in the 60s. Late 60s. So.
And who owned the house before your parents?
Was the Chases.
I remember a Harold Chase.
Yeah, well, Harold Chase was born in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And he later went down and lived on Prairie Street. Harold was a big conservation man in Concord, mm-hmm. one of the original. And the tree, what they called that, those things. But the town forest. It was part of establishing the town forest on Walden Street and over here at the Lonesome Pine,
mm-hmm.
Which we call Ministerial Drive. I'm not sure what they call it now.
And
Rifle Range.
Who built this house?
This house was built by William Wood, master builder, who was the master builder for the White Row of Commonwealth Avenue, built for the fellows who worked in the prison, reformatory. And this was built this house and then built the one right across the street here. That was the last one he built. He lived there.
On Derby Street.
Right here, that's West Street.
West Street, sorry.
Yeah.
And your parents' names were?
John and Margaret.
And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had five sisters and one brother.
Mm-hmm. You want to tell us their names?
Well, there was Mary, Dot, Peggy, Claire, and Ann, and my brother Jack, whom you know.
Yes. And your childhood must have been a very pleasant one growing up. I mean, it was still a very rural area here in the 30s.
Yes. Yeah. And there was not too many automobiles and the road, I think, in out here, Route 62, as we call it now, Main Street, which there was another name for it before it was given the name, was Charlie went by, was Dirt Road. So the Hudson, I think it's Hudson Marlboro, Charlie went all the way from Arlington to Bedford, came into Concord, came right up through West Concord into Maine. I don't remember too much about that.
You called the area the Junction then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what are some of the things that you did, like swimming at Warner's Pond?
That was a big thing with us, yes. And it's all you had to do was just get your trunks and on a hot day, and walked down to Juana's, and the beach, which was established by a woman named Charlie Hamilton. He was a guide at the reformatory. He was responsible for getting some of his men that were under him over at the reformatory to come in and bring sand in and create a nice beach. They had a float, a raft, and a lot of nice times were had there. And we also could get a boat there from either the Windheims, who still live down there now, and the Parkas, and I think that you could get a rowboat for an afternoon for 25 or 50 cents.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah, you go fishing, of course, that's all.
Not everybody may know where Warner's Pond is, so tell us.
Well, Warner's Pond, you might as well say, is right in the center of West Concord, almost. It's the Pale Factory Bridge on Commonwealth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the dam is, and as you walk Commonwealth Avenue, heading towards the rotary on your left would be Warner's Pond. A lot of those houses on the left, they enjoy their property going right down to the nice pond. It's very nice.
And you were a Boy Scout?
I was a Boy Scout, Troop 33. Yeah.
That was very big, being a Boy Scout then.
Yes, it was. I mean, every scouts were, and we were fortunate enough to have some with scoutmasters appear. I don't recall who was down in Concord, but we had a fellow named Jim Denton, Carol Chase, and Horace Fletcher. I think that name was.
Yeah.
No. And the island on Hornets Point is still called Scout Island. In fact, as I understand, it's still owned by the Boy Scouts. The town owns the pond and the land around it, and but the Boy Scouts still own the island. So a lot of camping was done there. Actually, I guess we made a couple of boats, rowboats. Up at, they were made up at Damon's, I think.
Dick Damon was a school friend of yours.
Oh, yeah. Dick Henry and Henry Harmon were... Henry lived on Warner's Pond. And he was a good carpenter. He had all the tools and so forth. And Mr. Damon was Ken Winslow. Winslow was affiliated with the Boy Scouts, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And baseball was very big then, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
And you played a lot at Rideout Playground?
Rideout Playground when we were young. And we had teams that were formed, and we played, let's see, fellows that would be in charge of the playgrounds who got jobs in those days, but fellows who were away in college, and they came in the summertime, a fellow named Tom Hanlon here, and also we were fortunate to have Beauty Meagan. He first came to town while he's still in college. He was going to Notre Dame at that time. He worked on the playgrounds, and he created a lot of sports, brought track and so forth, tennis.
He was later a high school coach, right?
Oh, yes, yeah. So, he went, after he got out of Notre Dame, he taught a year or so, and then the war came,
mm-hmm.
and then when he came back, he coached.
Mm-hmm. And there was a kind of friendly rivalry between Rite Aid and Emerson?
Yes. Yeah. And that, because there were always ball games, and it went either to Concord, because you didn't have buses in those days, had transportation was a big thing. How are you going to get people bed that, I think the level bus would bring us to bed. I don't know.
What, did you bicycle across, or?
I don't recall that, no. No, because they were sort of organized. Somehow they got us there.
Route 2 was being built in the 30s, right?
Yes, the early 30s, yeah, as I recall. The rotary, they built the rotary. Before 2, you came down, like, they call it 111, which is Route 2 west now, at the rotary. And you just came right down, and you came right on Elm Street, and went down through Concord Center. And then when they built Route 2, put the rotary in, and that's when they ran the road off towards Lincoln, through the farms and so forth. And that was quite a, I don't even know how long it took. It was in there, certainly in there, during that 38 hurricane. It was all complete, so. But I can recall that it was a dirt, the gravel and so forth, and we would get out, ride our bicycles on this new road. It was a big event, something to do.
Well, it must have also provided employment for people to work on the highway.
Yes, it certainly did. The some of the older fellows would get, the big thing was water, water boy. And everybody always needed water. Because they had these water tanks, and the water boy would get his pails, a couple of pails, and he'd go get the water and bring it to them. And they would pick and shovel. Hard to believe.
Yeah. There was a feeling of separateness from Concord Center. You were like your own village here.
Oh, certainly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we had everything right here. We didn't have to. I think maybe the first big grocery store came into Concord. First National was on the Mill Dam, I can recall, but that's when I was in high school. But otherwise, you had everything here. Back, and of course, Maynard. Maynard was the shopping center.
I see.
They had that. Yeah, you went to Maynard.
And you even had your own post office in terms of your own, what we would say, zip code. You were a separate post office.
Yes, yeah, 01781. And the, not too many years ago, the sign on the, before they built the new one, it was West Concord Post Office. Up front on the top of the building, and I'm not sure when they changed the zip, but when they did that, then West Concord became a substation.
But actually, you estimate probably about 1970, the zip may have changed.
Yes.
To unify.
Yes, yes, maybe even earlier, I'm not sure, maybe between 65 and 70, I'm not quite sure. Probably about the time that the town manager came in.
Certainly the post office in West Concord was a more active post office because of the Blueen company for a while. But you went to Harvey Wheeler, West Concord schools?
Mm-hmm. All Harvey Wheeler, yeah. And that, all 8 grades. And then you went into the town didn't grow. I went to Concord High in 37, and I'm not sure how many were in my high school. Probably a couple of hundred people.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine. Little old Concord High. Mm-hmm. And you know everybody.
Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah, it certainly was. Yeah.
And tell me what your father did for a living.
My father was a grocer here in West Concord, and he opened up right after in the war of 1918. He was called, but he didn't have to go, this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was called and went to Devens and came back after a few weeks or something. Never had to go overseas. And he opened a grocery store at that time down in the center where, right next to the 5 and 10. And he carried that on for a number of years. But then in the Depression, finally had to give the store up, and he had a, what they called a meat cart. I don't know if you know what that is. That's a fellow who drove a panel truck around. He opened the back doors, and he had all his meats, dairy products, and so forth, and he went around house to house.
Really?
Yes. And he did that until 37, when he applied for and received the second liquor license and was awarded in Concord. And he opened that up in the Carmel Avenue, where it still is today. So that was 37. Initial fee for a liquor store in those days was $300.
Oh my.
And today, I'm not sure what it is today, how many thousand, but that was in, it remained at that figure for quite a number of years. All of a sudden, and it got to be a big deal with the selectmen and the townspeople when they increased the fees for the licenses. Up until at least about 1950, it just remained like that. And your business was in those days, after Christmas and New Year's, which were big holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, in the liquor business, you come January, you didn't do any business. A lot of them went. My father would do it, is close up for a while and go to Florida.
Really?
Yeah. They go down for a couple of weeks. And a lot of the merchants did that. How they did it, I don't know. It's amazing when you think of it. But when my father passed on in 1956, and my brother and I took over, so that's, and we sold the store in 1995.
So you started in 1956, or were you working there before he died?
Oh, I worked there right after the war.
I
got out of the service.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there part-time. We had all kinds of jobs.
It must have been a real gathering place for the people of West Concord to have a package store and see people coming in and out.
Oh yes, it certainly was, because you were in those days, like the Allen Chair Company was there, and the Whitney Coal was, and Damon, of course, with the woodworking plant over and back, the garnetting. Everybody got through work at the reformatory. When they got through work, they came down into the town. And a lot of them came into the store, the so-called regulars, and they got their supplies, and in those days it was in the package, and that was the idea of it. You put it in the package and took it home.
Mm-hmm.
A lot different than it is today.
Drinking habits, what people chose to drink, changed over time.
Oh, certainly, yes. The wine business started, there were only a few different kinds of wines that sold in the early days. Top shelf was Pavi's Bristol Cream, which was very expensive, and that was sort of nice to serve in the home. But the lesser wines were the sherries, ports, like that. That's all I ever thought of as far as wine went. A little maybe Marcella, but not like today, but all the wines of California. Actually, New York State came in first with wines. The Widmer wines, which were very good. And then in the 60s, 70s, in the winery stat in California.
Mm-hmm.
And then the imports, of course. So today it's, there's thousands. It's just.
Do people mostly drink scotch, bourbon?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scotch, and that's a big drink, and bourbon. And of course, the bourbon, the flintlock, was created by the Colonial Inn. That was a rage in Concord for a long time.
What was in the flintlock?
It was early times.
Mm-hmm.
And the special mix that they used at the inn that they whipped up to make this flintlock.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Rum?
It was a mixed drink, bourbon.
Mm-hmm. Bourbon, okay.
Yeah. I don't imagine. Well, they probably still have it on their menu down there. Mm. I don't know.
Did women go into a package store?
Not initially, no. Women wouldn't go. Rare occasion. That all changed in the late 40s after the war. Young people that came along, so-called baby boomers,
mm-hmm.
yes. That would be the second generation. Baby boomers are at my job. And they would go to
mm-hmm.
establishments, the restaurants, the package to us.
In the 50s, more.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had mentioned that your father didn't go into World War I, but you had an uncle, James Mansfield, that did. And
Yes, James J. Mansfield was my uncle, my mother's brother. He was the worked up at the reformatory. Didn't know him, but I understand he was quite a gentleman. Well thought of, and he was the first soldier to be killed, a military man to be killed in World War I.
From Concord.
From Concord, yes. He lived on Bedford Street, and so my grandmother was the first Gold Star mother.
Mm-hmm.
And we grew up with that. In fact, my name is James Mansfield. I'm named after him.
Okay.
James Mansfield. And we were always brought up with that. The flag hung down in the mm-hmm. farm down there, right on Bedford Street, near the St. Bernard Cemetery. And she had the gold star in the window. And of course, the post, the James Mansfield American Legion post, which was an one time very, very active, and it was named after him. Mm-hmm. That's that pattern of history.
You had mentioned, being a scout, you went over to the scout house, and sometimes they would want to get boys there for dancing classes.
Well, yes, Fred Childs, Freddie as everyone called him, was on Lexington Road. Fred Childs is, I'm not sure, it was an inn that he ran there, but he also ran dance classes at the Girl Scout House on Walden Street. And he would have so many girls that he had to, the guys would not, they're not going to go to dancing school. I mean, a few did, but, and somehow it, convince, like, the mothers, it was my mother that I had you go to the Friday night dance was at the Girl Scout House. And it turned out to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of fun with it today when we run into people, you know, the girls contended, you know, how we acted, even what we wore.
that was fun. Can you tell me some of the stores that you remember in the village mm-hmm. of the Junction?
Yeah, the Badalomio's had a fruit store where the 5 and 10 is now. The Forbes of course bought that property off the Badalomio family. They had a fruit store there and a candy store, sold ice cream on that end. And then, of course, the Mandriolis, John Mandrioli, John and Mike, brothers, they ran an identical store on the other end of town, mm-hmm. where they are now, just about. Mm-hmm. Actually, their store was where the 99 is now. There were many grocery stores. There was, in addition to my father's, there was First National, there was Young's, there was you had barbershops, Joe Mazio's barbershop, John Crow, and Charles Lombardo. Well thought of gentleman from West Cork, he had a big family. And he had a store forever. He was in that building. Prendergast Brothers had a grocery store. And Benny's Grocery was right next door to them, believe it or not. And of course, the Mandriolis. The drugstore was Concord Drugstore.
Was that Sweat?
Glenn Sweat. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it was the Whitney's, originally, it was Otis Whitney's father. Mm-hmm. And then Glenn Sweat bought it. You had Adams and Bridges, which I guess everybody's familiar with, and Joe Hayes, C.J. Hayes shoe.
Mm-hmm. Adams and Bridges was the grocery. Right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Roddy, I.J. Roddy was a hardware store. And they were all underneath the hotel. There was a hotel there, Elmwood.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Warner's Hall upstairs, which is still there, over the shoe store. The post office and the association building, which they took down, was over the post office. There were many small shops. There was a men's shop that I recall. There was a dentist, Davis. He was there.
Then there were places like Tootie.
Well, later on, Tootie's restaurant was a. He was in that building also. and they were well known for this Italian food, spaghetti, and you know, they had their special nights. And then later on, there was Le Hif, which was all but.
I remember that.
And they were in the food business, a little, you know, sandwiches and lunches and so forth. And that was a popular place. Very popular.
I guess the Le Hifs that I remember, women did not go in there.
Well, yeah, it wasn't a very big place. Yeah.
Hogan's Spa.
Hogan's Spa, well, definitely. Which burned down is not there to talk about today, but that was a candy store, and they ran a they had tables there, sandwiches, lunch that they served the teachers at Harvey Wheeler would come down at noontime and have their lunch. And
that's Hogan, where the seafood store
is? Where the seafood is now. And the Hogans got a beer and wine license somewhere in the 40s or something like that. And then the teachers had to stop going there.
Oh. Now, did you or your father join in with Jim Powers and Peter Mandrioli and acquiring that?
That was Jim Powers and Pete Mandrioli and myself, yes.
Okay.
We formed this little corporation with what, little buildings and so forth. That was one of them. As I say, it burned down one night. It was around 1960. The land left there, and the Hudson National Bank showed some interest in coming to West Concord if we could build a building for them, with space for the drive-up window and so forth, which we did. And they came in 1970 and stayed about, I think, around 18-19 years, and then they bought their own property down where they are now, Baker Avenue.
And became community.
Community National, yes.
Mm-hmm. There were people like Dan Hayes that owned a lot of property on Main Street.
Yes, yeah. Dan owned land up quite a bit of it, part of the old powder mill. He and Glenn Sweat bought that. All the vacant land up there, acres, and of course, slowly but surely, they would sell off lots, on, particularly on 62. And a lot of the people that worked for them, a lot of working people around town could have buy a lot off of Dan, probably for $1,000, I think, in those days, and build a modest home. And then they graduated a little bit up to Faro Hills. He sold that land. And then in the end, Frank Panetta bought the rest of his land, and they built it. That must have been 20 years ago, 25 maybe. All those nice homes up in there. That was Dan's. And they part of the Musketaquid Club. He was responsible for that, which is a nice sportsman's club tucked up in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Now, he owned a mill, a garnet mill?
The Concord Garnetting, yes, downtown, yeah.
And could you explain to us what a garnet mill is?
Not quite sure.
Okay.
I think they took the raw wool that had been cured with oil or something. They took and cleansed it. Somehow they got, and that's what that is cleansing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And churning, and then it goes out to the mills, be spun.
And it's right near the Edwardson and Sober gas station.
Yes, it's where the bakery is now.
Mm-hmm.
On the brewery.
And what about Concord Woodworking? Was that at first on Main Street?
Yes, first they were up by Damon Mill on the corner of Water Street, I think it is, in Maine, where Bill Sullivan has that nice big office building right now. And they manufactured a lot of garden fencing furniture, painted up pretty, and they sold out of there. But then that burned down, and they had this big tract of land behind the post office, so that's where they put in a big complex in there. And they made the first snow fencing. That's what they had done. The snow fencing was so much in demand.
John Damon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, his father started, and then John took over after father died. And they did an awful lot of work for Sears and Roebuck. Did all their furniture. So, and eventually they moved up to Londonderry. I think it's still up in Londonderry, Vermont.
Hmm.
You know.
That's interesting.
But after John died, then the property was sold and went out of business here.
Mm-hmm. You went to Our Lady's Church?
Yes. Yeah. I was that day we altar boys. You know, that was a big thing. Probably 50 or 60 altar boys, unbelievable. And so yeah, and that was a big part of all the processions and so forth. And the church was very active, as it is now. But, they had penny sales and all sorts of things in the back of the church by the Harvey Wheel. And they had annual dinners and so forth that our folks went to.
Mm-hmm.
And most of everybody was on there, so to speak, and we were married there.
That's very nice. I mean, it's the continuity of life.
Yeah, and it's handy, of course. Before the rectory is right across the street from me.
So you'll be coming up to a big celebration of the church. So,
that's right. Yeah. Yes, in next May, I believe.
The centennial.
Yes.
Very nice. Very nice. Did each section of West Concord have their own neighborhood?
Yes. Yeah. By the reformatory area, that was one section. Down Main Street, I think they had a name too, Pirates, Eagles, whatever. It was, again, baseball and football. Down on Crest Street, you know, if you know where that area is, and there, that's the Shands, big part of that area. They owned the Kamal property, which is now
Concord Green,
yes. Think of that. And that was one section, as far as little rivalries went. And up here was on Simple Street, Main Street, Simple Street, and so forth. And then you had up the Cousins area, which is Cousins Field.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of everybody congregated in that area around.
And that was Bob Cousins?
Bob, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they grew a lot of carnations?
Well, they had, yes. Yeah. Cousins, the greenhouses, yeah. Carnations was their big flower that basically, I think, they supplied like cruise ships and so forth in the market in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I never worked with my brother. He knew more about it, right?
Well, you probably, with all the stores around, there probably was a lot of employment.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
For young...
It certainly was. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the importance of the railroad, I want to touch on that.
Well, of course, it was very important, because you didn't have automobiles, there weren't many automobiles. You went to Boston, just anything in Boston, you get on the train and went directly in. The other way, the other crossing, you could go from here to Framingham, from Wisconsin. We never did that much, although I had been on it. But you could go, and then you're in the North Station, you could go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Providence, go to Hampton Beach. Was when we were younger, that was always just go up there for the day and go up and rent a place for a weekend, all by train.
Hmm. That's it.
And of course, the freight came in. That was everybody had freight coming in, the chair shop, the coal log came in. Car furniture had stuff in, coming in. They always had cars over there. And so there were always freight cars found in there, which that was sort of stuck in the center of town. When they did away with that, it took a long time to do that. It freed up a lot of nice land.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of an eyesore in a sense. You have the old railroad. But it was transportation in those
days.
I think one of the last big thing when they built General Radio, the everything, the building of General Radio came in by freight to Wisconsin.
Mm.
Yeah,
that was around 52, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Acorn houses up there, they used to have their stuff come in, and they went right up to their place in Acton.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Wicks, I think, when they first came. And then they kind of closed it off. When they took the tracks off of Route 2, that sort of killed all that up there.
So it was the importance of the junction of the railroad tracks.
Sure.
Now, sometime in the early 70s, like around 73, there was a real rebirth of pride in West Concord as a cohesive community. And you were really a big part of that, with the Junction celebrations.
Yes, yeah, the Junction function, yeah. It started, Christmas lights, for instance, which we take for granted today. Well, in those days, you didn't have Christmas lights and everybody wanted them, and there was no money. The town was not going to do it. They didn't have the money. So, merchants got together and not only bought the lights, they sprung across the street, but they put them up.
Mm.
So everybody participated. You know, you had the electricians and people that knew what they were doing, and those that didn't helped out and sprung lights and stood on trucks and so forth. And then out of that, we'd get together and have a Christmas dance party. So forth. And so that's when it was revived, the Village Improvement Association, which hadn't done anything since the 30s, really, which is only now because you had hard times coming in the war and so forth. You know. So we, I think for about 15 years, we were pretty active and had the parades. The parade every year. And we had bean suppers and dances. at Abbey Wheeler's. And there was a little historical tours done by Bob Carter and Mrs. Wheeler.
Marion
Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Which was nicely done and well attended. And of course, when we sort of faded into the sunset, the younger people took over, and they've done a wonderful job of this.
Wisconsin Festival?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've done a great job.
Well, you certainly have been quite active in town among the merchants, but also you were active on the Recreation Commission.
Yes, yeah, in the 60s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And recreation, was not what it is today. It was we had the swimming at Walden Pond, and that's when the big battle went on to close Walden.
Mm-hmm.
The county commissioners with the charge. And Concord got squeezed over for a couple of years. We used just had a little small space there, whereas you used to have the whole beach. And it just eventually the state took over and practically closed it down. And Concord had to, they went to Warner's Pond one year, then tried White's Pond. And eventually when Walden was, I think, rehabbed as far as the erosion went and so forth. I think Clarkin went back for a short while, but that was a big thing. And the playgrounds. And there, of course, the people who were on, I was on with Elsie Kennedy, Betty Madison, mm-hmm. Roger Fenn, people like that. It was a lot of fun, and the playgrounds were the big thing. The two playgrounds here, which was Thoreau and Whiteout Playground downtown. Plus we had downtown too to take care of Emerson.
And you were on the 1975 Celebrations Committee.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I had the sports in the 75 celebration, which was, we had one big weekend over the 19th of April. The 19th, we did not do it the 19th because of the big parade and everything else. We did it the week before. Baseball game, the track, big track meet. And tennis and so forth. So that was a lot of fun. And a lot of the old timers came back and invited back. And it was just a special day.
Mm. Well, there really is a cohesiveness in the entire community and in the West Concord community. I know your wife, Eleanor, is very active in the West Concord Women's Club that celebrated their centennial this year. It's a wonderful part that you've played. There are some commercial activities that you want to include that are a little more current in memory.
Well, yes, mostly I left off the businesses, stores, and factories in West Concord, and I put old 1781, the old zip code.
Of the post office.
Yeah, in 1960. They're long gone, and I feel that maybe they should be put on tape, but
sure.
They were a big part and were here a long time in the downtown area, commercial, business, and factories.
By the way, I think it was around September of 1970 that the estimate of the zip codes becoming one.
Sure. Okay.
Now, all right. So let's go back like to the 60s.
Are we on?
Yep.
Okay. First off, is the Finley Manufacturing Company, who later became the Bradford Furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Finley took over the Allen Chair business, makers of fine furniture. A lot of it was school desks, chairs.
So that's Bradford Street.
No, on Bradford Street, those mm-hmm. three big buildings. That was the Allen Chair, and then it became, they went out, sort of out of the business, and was restarted by Finley, who bought that whole, and eventually Bradford Furniture, as we know it today, that's where they started. Also, there was the Whitney Coal and Oil, which I probably had mentioned them. Junction Square is there now. And then, of course, the Garnett Company was Dan Hayes. And J.R. Kelly Trucking was a big trucking company. They hauled all the wool and so forth from Boston out like every night.
And that's where the gas station and bakery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And because I guess I mentioned Concord Woodworking, mm-hmm. Dover Ski, the Concord Foundry. That was an ironworks business, and they were right there by off Commonwealth Avenue. There's some nice little, I can't even think
Winthrop of Winthrop Street?
Yeah, more of the track. And then we come down into the avenue. The Dom's Market, Dom Anicio. He was there a long time, the local market. And then across the street was the Home Products Store, which belonged to the, was started by the Beharrells, I think, and then the Muscarello family took it over.
Now, so, are we on Commonwealth Avenue?
On Commonwealth Avenue, yeah.
And where is that near today?
So the Home Products is where the Phillips Hardware is.
I see.
And that was Frank, Jerry, and Joe Muscarello, who
mm-hmm.
Muscarello brothers up here.
On Main Street.
Yeah.
In Maynard.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah. Also, let's see, across the street, we would go, because the 5 and 10 was not where it is now. That was up towards the florist. That's where it was originally. And also Becca Auto Motor Packs. They were there in that building. Tom Bino Brothers was where the 5 and 10 is now. That's where they started.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were there mostly through the 60s. Then we go across the track, across the street, up next to Joe Hay shoe store, and the Gail Mack shop was there. Mrs. Barron. That was there for quite a while. In fact, when she died, I think that Mrs. Hay, she bought it and ran that. Then we had the Concord Webbing Factory, that is where Carolyn's pecans are.
What is a webbing factory?
I'm not quite sure. I meant to find out what a web, but it certainly was, they employed a lot of women. And they were there a long time. A fellow named Lloyd Cram from Acton ran it. Then, let's see, who else was there? The Boston Gas, of course, had come in. That's Arcadian mm-hmm. Utilities, which is, he still has the sign out, Holly. Molly Holden, and Jenny was his mother. Oh, I don't know if you're familiar with her or not.
I was told that she made these wooden dryers.
Yes. Yeah, for, I think it was John DeMash, that little stands made out of dowels and people hung there. There was, she did that. She was also a quite a piano player and a organ player and a harp. She went around in her late years, like 90 years old, she'd go play the harp.
Really?
In the nursing home. That ought to be fun for you to stop in there someday and talk to Holly. They got everything in there.
They certainly have.
And who else? We have the shanty at the railroad crossing, and I think I mentioned that before. And a fellow named George Turnbull, who was in that picture, he was the gatekeeper. And a interesting thing about George was that he was an upholsterer, and people could bring down stuff, particularly their car, if they wanted upholstery, and he'd pull it over to the side while he'd step out of the shanty and work on that.
Personal.
Okay, now where do we go from there? We went down the street to Charles Lombardo's barbershop that was in our building in Condon's. And something that I forgot to mention was Selective Service. Draft Board was in West Concord since the 40s.
Uh-huh.
I think they went out maybe the early 70s, so they went to Maine. But they were in our building for a number of years. Then we had Mrs. Gates's breakfast and lunch right across from Andrew. She was a very good cook. Chicken Land Restaurant and Sun's Barbershop was on the corner, which is now Tim's. Prentice and Pack Electricians had two storefronts there, and they were pretty big. Of course, that's when they were building, they did the electrical, I believe, up for, Martin Coffee, when they did the nuclear. What did they call it originally?
Nuclear metals.
Was it nuclear originally? And then they changed. Then we had something very interesting was the Yankee Trader. And that was a big barn right there at where the White Hen sits now. And across the street was the Owl Shop, where Bob Hamley, I guess. And that was bring your things in. They had all kinds of things in there for sale. Brick-brack and furniture and so forth. So people brought things in, left them for them. And was, I can remember going, you'd go back a month later and you'd have a little envelope with it. Few dollars.
So it was secondhand.
Secondhand and interest, yeah.
That almost sounded like what the Yankee Trader was.
But he had a big band, and yeah, he drew well, very well, particularly on the
was
weekend.
He also where, was it a gift place or?
Well, it was an old band with okay. All kinds of furniture.
I see.
Charlie Moulton, I believe was his name, and he is the fellow who sold the land to the gas company, and I also think that they owned the land where General Radio was, the Derbys. So down the street we go to, further down would be Cal and Frank, where the donut shop is now, the old in the pizza place. And Kyle and Frank, they sold marine products, motors and so forth, and I can't recall what their last names were, but they were Concord fellows. also, back up a little bit, where the gatehouse is, there was a fellow named Watson, and he was a plumber, and he owned that building where the gatehouse is, and he lived in there. Acadian, we mentioned that, and of course Mr. Don Hall's Christmas trees.
Mm-hmm.
They came in the 50s and the 60s, and they're still here.
Yeah,
so they're a big part of the Wisconsin community. Jenny Holden brought him here. She knew him from Maine. And then we had Ray Beatty's Concord Bottle Gas. And he eventually ended up where across from Bill Sullivan's bed and breakfast,
mm-hmm.
that store. And Bill Hoggins Insurance, which I think is still under the same name. And originally it was Prendergast, Bill bought it from Prendergast, and then now they're over the hardware store.
On Commonwealth.
On Commonwealth, yep.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm jumping around quite a bit here. And I know I have a name, so many people that was tucked in corners. I saw Bob Carter the other night, and we were chatting, and he's as bad as I am, trying to think, let's see, what was this fellow's name? For instance, the Owl Shop. The fellow was a printer. George, and we can't think of his last name. But he had a printing shop there, and he turned it into this little shop.
No, you did very well. I mean, you're showing the variety,
yes.
That was there.
Yeah, and it's people like, just look at Charlie Lombardo, the barber. That was the barber shop. Everybody would stay there, just sit in there and play checkers and this sort of thing. He was an old timer, a nice family.
Now, is that where the barber shop is now, or?
Actually, it's where the tea cakes.
The tea cakes,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they went out and we fixed another place up for them.
Now that block was is called Condon's Block,
yeah.
And it was your father or yourself that purchased
No,
the
my
product?
Father bought
your,
it.
Your father,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He bought that from the Bartolomeo family.
Mm-hmm.
They owned quite a few houses. And, not a very old building, but I think it was built like in the 20s. And my father bought it in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think you've done extremely well, and you've given us a real eye to the vitality of West Concord.
Well, thank you, and I hope I, you know, that this down through the years, somebody might come back, somebody might hear that my father ran a business here, or one of my relatives, like Mrs. Gates, is a lot of, there was a big family. And I'm very happy to pass along the information.
Great. Thank you.